A bill passed by the House promises to improve how the government responds to open records requests, but some agency Freedom of Information Act officers don't think it's going to work. They say the FOIA Oversight and Implementation Act of 2014 will make changes only around the edges. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller says FOIA officers are feeling pressure around meeting today's FOIA requirements.
The few that I talked to or heard from yesterday at the American University's Washington College of Law's 7th Annual Freedom of Information Day say that this bill really does miss the mark in terms of helping them do their job, which is, in the end, is really meeting the requester's needs. Take, for instance, Michael Binder, who is the technical advisor in the Air Force's declassification office. He was very clear, and as in all these people, he was speaking for himself, not for others in his service. He asked the panel of congressional staff members that why don't they talk to people who do the work every day? He says the biggest problem is a lack of resources, mainly in terms of staff, need to review these processes. Now, Binder tells me afterwards that FOIA officers need help from Congress in a couple of different areas. The one area is to separate the classified from the unclassified requirements around releasing documents. He says, for instance, removing the 20-day response requirement for classified documents would actually make a lot of sense as well, because a lot of times it takes much, much longer to declassify these documents, so they're not meeting that 20-day requirement anyways. Two other FOIA officers also spoke up during the session, one from Interior and one from the State Department, and both, again, speaking for themselves, expressed concern over several areas, including the 3-year pilot for the online FOIA portal that the FOIA Act calls for. The State Department representative says there may be some unintended consequences of the bill as it sets up this online portal, because it actually could create a bigger backlog, because requesters would just blanket all agencies with the same request, whether or not it pertains to them. Another FOIA officer, again from the Interior Department, said that the yes, online portal makes sense in some ways, but there's a lot of challenges around, for instance, Section 508 in making sure the documents are accessible to people with disabilities. And of course, the resources, again, came up. Each of the FOIA officers brought up the need for more, more, more.
You know, Jason, it's really interesting that these agency experts on FOIA went to a public forum to ask questions of the people who are writing a law that affects their job directly. I think that's just telling about the process and the way this law was constructed. Tell me about the panelists. They had pitched in on drafting this bill. How did they answer?
Right. That's the funny thing, that they really didn't. I mean, their answer, and these are two House members, two House staff members, two Senate staff members who are very close to this whole FOIA Act, as well as understanding the topic. And all of them said, oh, we need to talk to people like you. Oh, you should come talk to us. But they really didn't say, well, here's why we did this, or here, tell us more about what problems you think that the bill doesn't address and how could we address them. And I was kind of surprised that they didn't take this opportunity to really engage in that broader dialogue, especially since, as you heard Daniel Medcalf say earlier in your show, there was over 100 people in that room. It would have been a fascinating conversation. But one of the areas they did address was around the budget. Ali Ahmed is a professional staff member for the majority of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Ahmed's boss is Committee Chairman Daryl Issa, the author of the FOIA Act. Ahmed says every federal program is facing the same budgetary issues.
To the extent that it plays into the considerations that went into H.R. 1211 and should play into that as we move forward with potential considerations in the Senate, it's that we should attempt to make reforms that will ultimately spare the agencies resources, whether that's getting ready for digital government reforms that will improve the speed and the efficiency of FOIA processing. It's something that absolutely plays into considerations, but there's a need to advance common sense reforms even now in our tight budgetary resource environment.
So basically what he's saying there is that, well, with these changes, if this FOIA Act becomes law, that would help agencies become more efficient and effective, so therefore they would have more money. But again, usually this kind of change, what they're calling for, does cost upfront money, and I'm not sure of being considered in the whole overall realm of things with the backlog. So I did a little bit of research and found the Congressional Budget Office says the FOIA Act would cost about $20 million to implement between 2014 and 2018. Now, CBO says that money would need to be spent on a number of areas, such as new reporting requirements. It also estimates that the National Archives and Records Administration would face additional costs to arrange a new annual meeting and establish a chief FOIA officers council that would help review and improve the FOIA process. So by no means expensive, but then again, not free either.
And you mentioned Dan Metcalf. We're going to hear this interview in a bit. But he did mention that, in his opinion, money was an issue, was an impediment to the executive branch doing the FOIA requests and handling them in a more efficient way. Tell me a little bit about what the bill manages to address.
Sure. Now, the bill does address a lot of different areas around FOIA, and it was very popular. It passed the House on February 25th, 410-0. So I would say as close to everyone liked it as possible. Now, it would amend the Freedom of Information Act, the initial bill that's 35 years old, in 12 different ways. It also would create for that online portal that we talked about and would require more oversight by agency inspectors general. Now, Ahmed says the bill is bipartisan and really does try to address areas that nearly everyone agrees needs to be and can be fixed.
It is about improving the implementation of FOIA, such as the requirement that all agencies update their FOIA regulations in line with other laws that Congress has passed. And it is about creating mechanisms for oversight and improving existing mechanisms for oversight so that there's a continuous reform effort that doesn't necessarily have to take place within legislation. You know, provisions like the Chief FOIA Officers Council, the Open Government Advisory Committee, and one thing which I know Chairman Issa is particularly excited about, that the Office of Government Information Services within the archives will be able to directly communicate with Congress and not have to go through OMB. We think from a FOIA ombudsman perspective, that's what an ombudsman can do. You know, it can take its issues with the public authority direct to the people, and in this case, direct to the people through their representatives in Congress.
Now, we have a link to that bill, H.R. 1211, on federalnewsradio.com. Krista Boyd is the counsel for the minority side of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee. She says one of the major changes to the FOIA Act over the last year actually came from the 2013 American University Freedom of Information Day.
The bill includes putting into the FOIA statute a presumption of openness, and that's something that hasn't been in the statute before. And there was a question raised about the way the bill was initially drafted. And I don't recall who exactly the person is, and maybe you're here today, but it was someone who was a FOIA officer raised the issue that he thought it would be confusing the way it was written initially. You know, if he were reading it, he would be confused as to how to interpret it. And we really took that comment to heart, and we'd had some other feedback, and changed the language of the bill to continue to include the presumption of openness, but to put it in a different place in the statute and to word it in a way that hopefully it is easier to understand, would be easier to implement. And it includes very specifically that if information is prohibited to be disclosed under other law, we're not changing that.
So another change is the Open Government Advisory Committee you heard Ahmed talk about earlier. They will explore ways to actually improve transparency. Boyd says this idea actually came from open and good government groups.
Okay, we're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So what's happening in the Senate with this bill? What issues is the Senate looking at?
Well, they are reviewing the House version, deciding where to go with it. The Senate Judiciary Committee actually held a hearing on Freedom of Information Act FOIA last week, and our colleague Jared Serbu covered it. We have that story also linked up on federalnewsradio.com. Now, from the hearing and other research, Senate staff members say they are excited about improving FOIA, but they see some opportunities. Lauren Barlow is the counsel for the majority in the Senate Judiciary Committee.
In the recent hearing, it became very clear that one of the areas that needs to be addressed is exemptions, particularly B5 and B3 exemptions. And I can't say now what that would look like or for sure if that will be there, but that's definitely something that we are going to consider and try to advance as much as possible. Another important issue is the preemptive disclosure. Given how easy it is to post a PDF online and open it to everyone with a few key search terms, that I think that the preemptive disclosure is a great way to cut down administrative costs and to get government documents to as many people as possible. And so I think we'll also look at ways of sort of advancing that. If perhaps the House bill is sufficient, or maybe bring the number of requests from 3 down to 1. If anyone requests it, it should be available to everyone.
So you heard Barlow mention B3 and B5 exemptions. B3 exemptions are those that prohibit information from being disclosed through FOIA it's also being prohibited from disclosure under other statute. There are 48 of those statutes, such as the Civil Service Reform Act or the Government Ethics Act. Now, B5 exemptions deal with interagency or intra-agency communications, such as memos or policies that otherwise wouldn't be made public. Now, one area the legislation does not address, at least currently, but the administration does plan to address, is FOIA standards across government. At that Judiciary Committee hearing last week with Melanie Puste, the director of the Office of Information Policy at the Justice Department, she told that the committee that they do plan to do some standardization of FOIA regulations across government. So I asked the panel about the White House's plans, and Nathan Halford, who is counsel for the committee's ranking member, Charles Grassley, he says he's not sure that makes sense.
I would think that there's probably a hesitancy to standardize FOIA regs in total. There's probably principles, right, that should apply across the board, but each agency varies in sizes, types of requests they handle, and I would think that the kind of recommendation I would make if I was having a discussion with someone is to make sure that those differences are accounted for rather than making the process more cumbersome or problematic by treating everyone the same.
Now, Halford says agencies just really need to do a better job of updating their FOIA regulations based on changes in policies or laws.
So it seems like the big takeaway is that everyone in Congress agrees that the agencies can do FOIA better. But how likely is it that they're actually going to be able to deliver a bill to the president to sign?
Right. It depends on which side of the Congress you sit on. If you sit on the House side, you're very confident. You're 100% this is going to become law. If you sit on the Senate side, you're about 50-50 saying, well, there's a lot going on otherwise, and we're not sure if this bill will get through this year.
So not that they don't consider it important, but they've got another list of things to take care of first.
Exactly. It's always about priorities.